Stand together, take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we'll read some verses here and then we'll let you be seated. We'll get started a little bit later, but I see the clock in front of me, so we'll get out about the same time we usually do. Luke chapter 15, in the last couple of weeks, now last week was missions conference, but before that, the last couple of weeks, we were looking at the story of the prodigal son and the wasteful life. And we looked at him, and we saw where he had his issues, and then we saw where he came to himself. When we left the story off, he had just left the pig pen, and he came back to his father. We're going to pick the story up from there. Today, we're going to look at his brother. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 15. It's, but the father said to his servants, this is after the son comes home, the prodigal, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet, and bring thither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The party is on. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. The story ended there. I guess everything would be good, but it continues. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He didn't know what was going on yet. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Father, in the few minutes that we have this morning, I pray that you'd help us to learn some lessons from the elder brother that would help us in our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, we had talked about the prodigal the first week. We talked about the problems he had because of the decisions that he made. He made his decisions on based on who he lived for. He lived for himself. He based his decisions on what he lived for. He lived for the wrong things, and he ended up wasting his money. Last time we met, 2 weeks ago, we saw that the prodigal did come to his senses. By the way, a lot of people in problems never do come to their senses. Their problems continue. What he had done is he reconciled those decisions he made with the payoffs that they were giving him in his life. And he came to himself and he goes home. As he gets home, his father here is rejoicing and he's happy for him. Now we're going to look at his brother. His brother, by the way, whenever you hear about the prodigal's brother, he gets kicked to the curb. Okay? He is slammed for his attitude. That's a story for another day. We're not talking about that today. What I do want to look at is the things that the brother did get right. Because when it came to his decision process, his actions, he was spot on. Now his attitude, that was another story. You realize that when the younger came and said, I want my inheritance now, that the father didn't just give the inheritance to the younger only, he gave it to both of them. So they both had the same opportunity to take off and do something goofy. Fact of the matter is, the elder brother had at least double, being the older brother, what the younger brother had. So he probably had more opportunity. But yet, he did that which was right in the areas we're going to look at this morning. He made the right decisions. His decisions were not motivated by self like his brother. Often, as we mentioned, he gets slammed for that. But he did do some things right. And that's what I want to look at. I would rather have to deal with his attitude issues than have to pick up all the pieces of a broken life that his brother had. His brother comes in and hears what's going on. And that's where we pick up the story in verse 25. His eldest son was in the field, and he came to draw nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing, not the kind of dancing you guys do. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, thy brother has come, and they have killed the fatted calf. He's like, whoa, they're having a party for this guy? Look what the cat drug in. And then it says, and he was angry. He was not happy about it. Now, in the course of the discussion, as he goes back with his father, again, come back next week and we'll get on the older brother, okay? But this week, we're going to cut him some slack. We're going to look at what he did, what was right. The things that his brother did not do, which got his brother into trouble. Let me give you several. First of all, his decisions were based on being responsible. The younger brother did not make decisions based on being responsible. He wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to do what he felt was right. Where was the elder son when this was all going on? Now, the elder son was in the field. You know what the elder son was doing? He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was out working. By the way, he had his inheritance. He had more money than the younger brother. The younger brother took off and partied, but he stayed true, and he was out doing what he was supposed to do. He was still a worker while his brother was a waster. What would it take to change you from doing the right things that you do? For most of us, you know what that would be? Prosperity. Most people, oh man, if I could just win the lotto, if I just had all this money, it would ruin you. It'd ruin you. Ruin your life. Now, I'm a basketball fan and I like the Lakers. Pray for me. It's going to be a rough year. And one thing, if you're a Laker fan, that has to be true is you have to hate the Celtics. You cannot possibly be saved if you say you like the Lakers and you don't hate the Celtics. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand briefly. We want to know who to jump after the service. You're a Celtics fan. Is there anybody? That's because you're from Boston, right? I'm praying for you. Okay? I don't like the Celtics. I'd rather like the Raiders. Let me say this, though. Larry Bird, I heard a story that, you know, when a team wins a championship, they party all night, they do all that nonsense, and they don't do anything for weeks. Someone caught up with Larry Bird, the very day after they won the title. He was up at 6 in the morning practicing his shots. He's figured there's another season coming. That's responsibility. See, most of us, if we could get out of having to do the things we're supposed to do, we wouldn't do them. That's our society. The older son was responsible. Responsibility, I'll give you a generic definition. It's doing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, because you're supposed to do it. That's responsibility. Many of you, you're going to get up and go to work tomorrow. Why? Because that's the responsible thing to do. You're not going to get up because the alarm clock goes off and you're going to say, woo, let's go. When my alarm clock goes off, I'm like, woo, let's kill it. Okay? But we do, that's responsibility. By the way, that's not how things work today. We're a society of irresponsible people. We have men and that go job to job to job to job to job. By the way, if you can always find a reason to quit a job, you know what the responsible thing to do is? Work. Say, well, I don't like my job. Neither do I. I work at the church. Thank you. I like my job. It's my coworkers that are really irritation. I don't like my job. Look, By the way, when my philosophy, I remember when we moved here, we moved back to Long Beach from Florida. We sold everything. We came back. We were staying at my mom's house. And it's like, I got to get a job. I grabbed two jobs right away. I was working from 6 in the morning to 11 at night so I could save money to get us an apartment. And I just took the first jobs that came. Now, I needed a better job, but while I was looking for a better job, I kept the jobs I had. Say, were they great jobs? No. But you know what? You got to be responsible. We just have an irresponsible society. We're irresponsible in our church attendance. By the way, there's always excuses to miss church. Now, if you're dead, that's a good one. Stay home. We don't want dead people here. Say, I got some disease that could kill everybody in the church. Stay home, but I'll give you some visits you can make. Okay? No. Just look. Let's just do what we're supposed to do. That's called being an adult. And spiritually speaking, that's what we're supposed to do also. Yes, sir. Being an absentee parent. We live in a society where people bail out on their children. I don't understand that. No. I just don't. I was actually reading a book the other day, and they spoke about this lady. She was like, I think she was the CEO of Pepsi. She was a bigwig, working 16-hour days, and she had a family, and she had children. And she finally came to the point, she said, I can't do this anymore. I have a family. I have a responsibility. And she left her job. Okay? We have responsibilities. Why don't we be responsible? By the way, make your children. You know, we just live in a time. We're afraid to tell kids what to do anymore. I don't know if you saw that story. There was a kid that was beating up another kid on the bus. Someone was filming it with their cell phone. And there was adults in the bus that just didn't do anything because they're not allowed to touch the children at all. We're just training the children. I'm not saying you should, but someone should have broke that up. But we're just training children to be irresponsible, and now we have a whole society of adults that are irresponsible. Let's be irresponsible. Most adults just want to live like children and teens. That's all. We want to go to college until we're 70, because then we don't have to get a job. We're training for a job. A couple weeks ago, I think during stewardship, I told a story of a guy that he died when he was like 65, and he went to college his whole life because one of his rich relatives had died and left him money and said, take care of him and support him as long as he's in college. So he said, I'm just going to be in college my whole life so I get this free money from my inheritance. Okay? That's ridiculous. It bothers me to see guys just hanging around, adults. Wanting to look like teenagers. I know you're going to get mad at this, but pray for me. You know, hats on sideways. Shorts that go down to your ankles. Doc, you're 30. Get a job and snap out of it. Okay, riding around on a bike, and if you have a bike and that's exercise, go for it. But come on. Seriously. Let's be responsible. Do what we're supposed to do. Our whole life is about fun, 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 fun. And by the way, I'm for having fun. I'm not against it. But your whole life? By the way, if you enjoy being responsible, you'll enjoy what you're doing. People want to be supported, but they don't want to work. Look, if you're a guy in here and you don't want to work and your children were starving, I would feed your children and I would make sure your wife got fed, but I wouldn't give you a penny. You know, I like some guy, they come to a church and people think the church is spelled ATM. And they want to come here and we're supposed to give them money because they're Christians. So it was a guy here and someone sent him to my office and they shouldn't have. I had to kick him out of my office because he was getting, he wanted me to give him money and he started raising his voice. I said, we're done, leave now. About a month ago. But I'm like, I ain't giving you money. But I'll tell you what, why don't you come work on the job site for a day and we'll give you some money. He didn't want that. I don't mind helping people that genuinely have a need. I totally don't mind. But we need to just be responsible. See, irresponsibility kills relationships. It just does. What is happening in our society? We're reaping the fruit of irresponsibility. We've raised a generation of irresponsible adults. By the way, let me say this. If your children cry every now and then, it's okay. Well, little Fufu didn't get what he wanted. Now he's throwing a tantrum. You ought to pick them up, set them down, and don't let them get away with that. Because you know what happens? They're 18 and they're doing the same thing. Only they don't throw themselves on the ground. They do other retarded things. See, I read an article. I get these articles sometimes in the mail. And it's talking about all these women that were sharp. And it's like, why are they not getting married? Why are they waiting so late to get married? And these sharp ladies were saying, because we can't find any responsible men. They all want to sit around and play video games all day. They all want to, their whole life is about video games, sports, and whatever hobby they have, and they can't work a job, and they can't do this. Hey, look, I'm not saying if you're out of work, I understand that happens, but I'm just saying, if it's because you don't want to, there's a problem there. Well, you know, I filled out an application 2 months ago. I don't know. You know. One of our guys, Mario, because he works in the union, he'll get a job and it'll end. So he says, man, when I'm between jobs, I come work on the job site because whenever I come on the job site, the union calls and they have a job for me. So I said, keep doing it. Then I called the union and said, hey, don't call him. We need him on the job site. I read another article, I think I mentioned it probably months ago, but there was an article about this new thing in couples where they decide we're not having any children because it interrupts our life, what we want to do. I think it was in Time magazine, like a 6-page article. And they interviewed one lady, said, see, my husband and I this week, we decided we're just going to go to the mountains and we're going to go skiing. If we had children, we couldn't have done that. La-di-da. You know what? Children are a nuisance. They got toxic stuff in their diapers. They think it's time to eat at 3 a.m. Come to think of it, any time to eat is a good time. Okay? But if you have to feed the baby, hit the refrigerator, get yourself something, okay? Makes it all better. But you know what? The blessing associated is way, way, way better. But that's our society. We're irresponsible. Let's be responsible. Let's be responsible. What else would I say that was good about the older brother? His actions were based on being dependable. He said, and by the way, the things he said when his father talked back to him, his father did not dispute those things because they were all true. He said, lo, these many years do I serve thee. You see, the thing is this. It didn't just so happen he was probably coming out of the field just that day. He came out of the field every night. He was at work when he was supposed to be at work. He was running the place. He was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Dependability. The father didn't have to worry about him. Even after the younger son left and all the misery that probably caused the father, it probably was a blessing to his heart to look at his older son and say, I don't have to worry about this one. This one's doing the right thing. I can count on this one. He's going to be there. He's going to be doing what he's supposed to be doing. We call dependability faithfulness. And by the way, it's hard to find. Proverbs says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Are you the kind of person that can be counted on? I mean, I've worked places where I hired and fired people. And I'm not looking for that guy that shines bright. I'm looking for that guy that burns long. He's just there every day. It's amazing. I've worked at enough places, and you see people get a job, and in church I've known people, and like within 2 weeks they're taking a sick day. They're late after a week. Can I tell you something? I don't understand that. I'd fire them. If I hired a new employee and after 2 weeks he's already taken a day off, I'd shake his hand and say, you need to find another job. Yep. Whenever I got a job, I was scared. I always got there early. I'm not going to be late. I don't want him thinking, I hired this bozo and after one day? Or we show up like, well, I didn't like doing that work. That wasn't my job description. I was listening to a message and a pastor said, let me tell you about the employee that worked with me the shortest. Goes, I hired this guy, and he didn't last one day. He said, guy, first day of work, we're out there, and all the staff was out there. We were setting up chairs outside for a big special event, and the pastor's setting up chairs. And here's the new staff member. He's just mulling around. And they're like, hey, you need to come over here and help us set up the chairs. And he said, I don't do chairs. And the pastor said, let me talk to you for a minute. And that was the last day he worked. Listen, dependability. Being faithful. We're not, look, we just, any excuse we can find to get out of doing what we're supposed to be doing, we take it. Dependability. How's your faithfulness in your life? Are you faithful to church? Are you faithful to your Sunday school class? Are you faithful to job responsibilities? How's your attendance at work? Remember the last, when I was quitting, I started my own business, I was quitting, and I was in the office about a week before I was going to quit, and they knew I was leaving, and the boss is chewing out another guy, and this guy just couldn't understand why the boss was upset that he had been late 70 times that year. And his whole point is, but it's only 5 to 10 minutes. It's not like I'm coming in a half an hour late. And he just couldn't get, I couldn't get why the boss didn't just say, see you later. But that's how we are. Faithfulness. Are we faithful to, by the way, that if we're not dependable, we bring that into every aspect of our life. You'll bring that into your spiritual life. Dependability. He was faithful in two areas. He said many years, longevity. Hey, if you're a new Christian, your goal ought to be to still be serving God 20 years from now. If people come in and say, oh man, I am so fired up about Jesus, and 3 months later, it's like, where are they? What happened here? Just stay with it. Stay with it. Doesn't our Lord deserve that? And he was loyal. He realized who he was serving. These many years do I serve you, Dad. Your brother didn't do it. I was here for you. Loyalty. Next, his motivation was based on being obedient. He said, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. He said, not only was I responsible, I go do what I'm supposed to be doing, not only have I been dependable to you, but I'm doing everything you want me to do. Obedience. The Bible isn't just some book to dust off once a week and bring to church. It's not just some book we carry around saying we believe, but we don't know anything that it says. And it's not just a book of facts to be memorized. Abraham married Sarah. God created the heaven and earth. There were 12 disciples, and you know, Judas was a bad guy. You know, there was I can tell you all the vials and all the things from the book of Revelation. Great, but do you do what it says? When Satan was trying to tempt Jesus and he said, hey, do this, Jesus didn't say, get out of here, knucklehead. You know what he said? Well, here's what the Bible says. And it wasn't the fact that he quoted it. It was the fact that he quoted something he was going to do. He was saying, Satan was saying, you do this. And Jesus was saying, well, the Bible says this. It is written. What he was saying is that it's written. I ain't doing it. I'm doing what the written word says. Most of us do not live by what the Bible says, if we're honest. That is wisdom. Wisdom isn't your IQ. Wisdom isn't how many degrees you have. Wisdom is the ability to know what God's word says and to be able to do it in your life. You see, you could call it living by principle. Living by principle means I live by what the truth is, not by how I feel. Okay? That's principle. Most of us don't have any principles. You know the Bible tells you not to lie, but if lying will help you at work, you'll do it in a heartbeat. You're not living by principle. Principle is, I'm not going to lie to my boss, even if it means it causes me to get chewed out. Hey, did you take care of that? You say, you know what? I blew it. You can think of an excuse. You can lie your way out of it. Living by principle. We don't do that. We do what is right regardless of our feelings. Most people live by pleasure. We do what we want and we decide by our feelings. Well, I just felt that was the best thing. By the way, if anybody ever tells you, you know what? Just follow your heart. Seriously? follow your heart? Because sometimes my heart says, cut that guy off. Sometimes my heart says, honk at that person. You know, I was leaving. We park out here during the week, and I park out here on Wardlow, and I get my car, and I'm leaving, and I'm in my lane, and this lady cuts in front, and then she says something. I'm like, I felt I was going to, like, honk at her. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like half a block from the church. Better not do that. She might visit church. And like, that's a bozo that honked at me. So I waited until I got down the street. Then I honked. Okay? That's my feelings. Say, you never give in to your feelings? Stay out of my life. Can't follow our hearts. Our heart tells us things that are not true. You know, you start, oh, she's the most beautiful girl in the world. I mean, she kills people, but we can get past that. I just feel so good on I'm around her. Maybe we'll get rid of the knives. Open your eyes. That's why most people get in problem. They we're in love, and she's so pretty, and he's so handsome. And yeah, yeah. It's like, hey. Oh, he hasn't had a job in 30 years. Okay. You can't live on love. You'll starve to death. Okay, principles. Why do you do what you do? Can you look at it and say, this is the right thing to do, or this is the wrong thing to do? God says this is what we're supposed to do. So look, I'm sure the older brother, there was times he didn't want to work. I'm sure there were times when he maybe disagreed with what his father said. I'm sure there were, but you know what he did? He goes, I'm following what you're telling me to do. How do you live? Be faithful. Let's be like the older brother in these areas, not the ones we mentioned next week. Let's be like him. It all just comes down to just doing what we're supposed to be doing and continuing and not finding excuses and being blessable. By the way, he was. The younger brother came home, he had the party, everything was good, but let me just tell you something. The day after the party was over, his alarm clock went off. And it's like, hey, wake up. It's time to go work in the field. By the way, you don't have any inheritance anymore, that's gone. He was taken care of, but his inheritance was gone. It was gone. The older brother still had his. The father said, look, everything I have is yours. It's all yours. Why? Because he was the right kind of son. Let's quit living by our feelings. Let's quit looking for excuses to not do the things we're supposed to be doing. Let's stand together this morning.